reach for Listerine. Cough drops and nose drops, aspirin and such are not antiseptic, just can't touch. Listerine's germ-killing action, so reach for Listerine.
Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. Now here with Music on Records is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Joe. Hi, everyone. Once again from the heart of things, geographically speaking at least, right in the middle of the broad expanse of the 48, which we call the United States. Welcome. Welcome aboard to our Wrigley Show, broadcast every day on the full CBS network, in the interest of good chewing everywhere, because, of course, our sponsor makes for good chewing, Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Now, I'm very pleased that today we have a command performance. I am hardly the one to command anyone to do anything, but I did make a request that Carol Jarvis, who I felt had a real fine record going for the Bally people, the Bally Record Company, should perhaps make a trip across the country to visit disc jockeys everywhere, because those are the boys that'll launch her success in show business. So Carol was nice enough to make this trip, and one of her stops is here in Chicago and our show. You'll meet Carol Jarvis. You'll hear My Heart Has a Mind of Its Own in a moment or two. But first, let's listen to Vince Martin with 1, 2, 3, 4, Any Place Road.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, Any Place Road, somewhere USA. I'm gonna build a little white house where my true love and I will stay. When I was a boy, I sailed out to sea in search of fortune and fame. But a boy is wild like the stormy sea, and traveling made me tame. 1, 2, 3, 4, Any Place Road, somewhere USA. I'm gonna build a little white house where my true love and I will stay. When I was a youth, I charmed every rose and kissed for the sake of a kiss. But a youth is wild like the weed that grows, and traveling taught me this.
1, 2, 3, 4, Any Place Road, somewhere USA.
I'm gonna build a little white house where my true love and I will stay. But now I'm a man, thank heaven above, I've been where the far winds can blow. And a man is wild till he finds his true love, and my true love taught me so. 1, 2, 3, 4, Any Place Road, somewhere USA. I'm gonna build a little white house where my true love and I will stay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
This is a pretty melody, isn't it? That's Vince Martin, the boy who had such a tremendous success with his very first record on a Glory label called Cindy O' Cindy. He came back with his sophomoric attempt, or a sophomoric record, as number 2. And while I doubt seriously now if it's going to be as big as Cindy, I wish that it would be, because this indeed is very pleasant and easy music to listen to. Vince Martin, his Glory recording, 1, 2, 3, 4, Any Place Road. Which is a pretty good address, perhaps, for you to visit over the weekend. And if you are going visiting, if you're going to climb into the automobile, the family bus with the wife and the kiddies, and go out to those open spaces, I hope that you take the companion piece that's always such pleasant chewing Wrigley Spearmint. And if you do, I can promise you that you'll stay alert when you're driving because the chewing action of Wrigley Spearmint will sort of stimulate your thinking process. The result is, of course, that you're a better driver. So be careful and be smart on the highway, and then be extra smart and take along a plentiful supply of Wrigley Spearmint. The kids are going to enjoy it because, you see, it has a wonderful pacifying effect on youngsters in the back seat. When they get just a little bit cross or cranky as you're near the hometown again, you sort of give them a piece of Wrigley, let them chew their troubles away. And I know that they're going to enjoy it just like Dad and Mother in the front seat. So why don't you all go someplace this weekend and go with Wrigley Spearmint? It's just a delightful treat. Not unlike a very delightful treat that we have right now, in the form of a cliche and a way to introduce little Carol Jarvis, a girl who once upon a time, I understand, until she was about 10, resided in the city of Chicago, then went out to California. And if you don't think this is a bright little girl, I said, how'd you happen to go to California? And she told me before the show because her mother and father took her there. And that seems to make pretty good sense, doesn't it, Carol?
Yeah.
Now, Carol, at the age of 10, of course, you had not thought in terms of a professional career, had you?
No, although I was dancing at a young age. I took dancing lessons. And
ballet and all the rest of the
whole bit.
Rigmarole.
Yeah.
Just another parental cost, I presume.
Yes. Well, yes, I'm hearing about that now.
Oh, sure,
from
always.
My parents.
But it probably stands you in good stead because I think that there is a lot of choreography that goes with a good singer, don't you? And movement on stage is a very important thing.
It will
thing.
Help me as I go ahead with my career, definitely, especially if I go into nightclubs and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. And also, I think it gives you a stage presence, which you need.
Yes, it gives you a grace. It gives you ability to move around with a fluid action. Carol, do you suppose if you had stayed in the Middle West that show business would have reached its long hand and arm out and given you the gone finger of beckoning?
I think it would. Uh-huh. I don't think it would have mattered where I was at because actually I lived in San Bernardino, California, which is far from
the music industry. Yes.
And that's where I got the idea.
Uh-huh. Had you been studying out there for a professional career?
No, I was going to be a doctor in high school, and
yeah, right.
I was definitely going to be a pediatrician. That's all there was to it. And one day, my teacher decided that I was to be on the show, the junior play, and I got up and sang. And
I presume
heard
the
that
name
applause.
Of the play was The Medic, wasn't it?
No, it was This Is Your Life, by the way.
This Is Your Life.
Yes, it was.
Well, that's good for young doctors. That's right. I thought maybe you bought a Band-Aid and went into the Medic cast or something. Well, go ahead, and I'm sorry for the interruption for a corny joke.
Oh, it was a good one. And I just decided to sing after I heard the applause, and that was it.
That's all it took.
I just love it. I'm a ham, I guess.
Well, don't you think that all of us in this business are, I don't care how businesslike we like to be about the way we approach the profession, I think that all of us are in it because we are hams.
Oh,
I think we have
yeah.
an exhibitionist complex
oh,
inside
yes,
someplace.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I know because I went to law school, and if you can find a farther cry, well, maybe a doctor's career from show business is about as far away. But I was too corny. I was too hammy. I couldn't content myself with torts and briefs, and so I said, oh, to heck with it. Give me a phonograph record. Well, now, Carol, it's a far cry between saying I want to be a professional and being one.
Yeah, well,
so what happened then after you decided you wanted to be one?
Well, then I started working on our local radio station there. We had a little show, and the disc jockey there got me interested in it, really.
This is in California?
Yes, in San Bernardino. He encouraged me to keep it up. And then I started singing with little groups around San Bernardino. And then from then on, I started singing with bands and practically the route every girl
yes.
singer has to go through.
Well, I'm glad you said that because that is the greatest route for any girl singer to take with the dance bands, isn't
oh,
it? It teaches
yes.
you a lot.
At the time, you kind of wonder. You think, what's going on, you know? But now I know that it was the greatest experience in the world.
Did you travel with a band, or was it a local band?
Well,
playing?
It was mostly local. I played mostly in California. Oh. We played around California. I've sung with Nelson Riddle, and we did some
Oh,
gigs.
Have you?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, I have great admiration for that man. I think he's
yes.
one of the brightest lights in our entire music picture.
Oh, he's just marvelous to work for, too.
You have never had a chance to do any recordings with Nelson, have you?
No, this ballet record is my first record.
He turns out some fantastic arrangements for
yes.
the Capitol people.
Oh, yes.
However, I am not going to deny that here on this particular record for ballet, you have a good arrangement, too. Actually, this was not made by ballet. This was a small label out in the West Coast, wasn't it?
Yes, uh-huh.
Who gave you this contract first?
The songwriters came to me. I was doing demonstration records for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to me one day and they said, Carol, how would you like to do a session? And I said, I'd love to. And so they arranged everything, and Milton Mann, who's a movie producer, He's in it also, and there's quite a few people in this, and so we decided to do a session, and we picked out the songs, and we did them.
You made a remark about doing demonstration records. It is a very integral part of our business, and I wonder if you'd be nice enough to tell the millions of listeners that we have right now who might be budding aspirants in show career just what it means to be a maker of a demonstration record. You want to point that out for
them? Oh, yes. Well, they're songwriters. They have to have their... today, they don't go into a record company and sit down and play the piano for the A&R man. They have to have a record to present them of their song. So they either hire a singer or a musician, depends on what the song is, and you go into a studio and record it, just the piano and you, or if they want a small group. You record their song, and they take the song to the record company and try to sell it.
That's just about how it is. Very well put story. And I'll tell you a very amusing aspect of that story, too, and this is a true story because it happened to a very dear friend of mine. He was making demonstration records for a publisher in the East, and the publisher took the demonstration record that he made into Mitch Miller of the Columbia Record Company and said, "Mitch, how do you like this song?" Mitch listened to it and said, "I don't think too much of the song, but I sure like the singer. I'd like to buy him." Uh-huh. The singer's name was Guy Mitchell.
Oh,
so you see, it can really happen in big ways for young performers. Well, let's give a listen then, Carol, to this fine record that you've made for the ballet people, and I sincerely hope that it launches a bright career for you. Carol Jarvis, My Heart Has a Mind of Its Own.
My mother said I shouldn't see you. She said to leave you alone.
Carol Jarvis, My Heart Has a Mind of Its Own. Carol, as I started to tell you before the broadcast today, I had a wonderfully intelligent and kindly letter from a lady up in Angola, New York, who, when I played this record last week, immediately sat down and wrote and objected to the fact that she felt that it was an expression of defiance on the part of the youngsters. I wrote her back today. She hasn't got it yet, but I don't feel it's that. I feel it's more a positive approach to a young love, don't you?
Young
teenage affair.
I think that every teenager has a first love. And that first love is, they think, is the one.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's the way teenagers think.
And it isn't really finding fault with a parental
viewpoint. Oh, no.
Because
when I was a teenager, which was only a year ago.
Of course.
I remember I used to think my parents, everything they were doing wrong and saying wrong. But now, all of a sudden, they got so brilliant.
You know how right they are. Yeah. Carol, thank you for being here. I'm going to look forward to having you on our big two-hour television show tonight. And until then, thanks very much for being
here.
Thank
you very much.
This is Howard Miller from Chicago. You make certain that you have plenty of Wrigley Spearmint now over the weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Until then, here's the star of our show, Joe Foss. Joe?
Howard's guest Monday, Dick Jacobs on the CBS Radio Network. WBBM Chicago, MGM presents John Wayne in the rousing, reckless, romantic adventures of a famous hero, Navy Commander Frank Spig Weed, The Wings of Eagles, directed by John Ford. Don't miss John Wayne, Maureen O'Hara, Dan Daly in The Wings of Eagles in Metrocolor, starting Tuesday, March 12th at the Woods Theater. 11 o'clock. A great refreshment buy. Big king-size bottles of Coca-Cola, sign of good taste.
WBBM-FM, Chicago.
Wendy Warren and the news.
Hello, folks. This is Wendy Warren with news reports from the women's world. And now, here's Douglas Edwards with the latest...